Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Is this world indeed becoming more and more dangerous? Now, if I say a thing like that, many will respond and say, oh, stop crying wolf. I mean, this world has always been a dangerous place. But to answer my question that way wouldn't match with the concern of many news analysts and experts. I want to read to you from an article by Newsmax, dated November 26, having this to say. The world will become substantially more dangerous, said Gaffney, the founder and president of the Center for Security Policy. Among his concerns are the establishment of Sharia in Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and Syria, the rise of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the strengthening of Hamas in Gaza. His primary concern remains the Iranian nuclear weapons program. I don't think anything will dissuade the Iranians from fulfilling their long-standing objective to obtaining nuclear weapons, he said. They will have to be stopped. My guess is that if it's not a matter of weeks, it may be months at most. And the trouble is we don't know and we may not know until either there's a nuclear test or there's a nuclear explosion. Sanctions, I don't think, are going to help. There is no doubt that the Israelis increasingly recognize that what is happening with ineffective sanctions, with an America that is not taking the lead, or worse, is actually trying to engage the mullahs of Iran, is that an existential threat to the Jewish state is becoming ever more of an imminent peril. Now, that's his analysis. Is this matched by others? Do others have the same concern? Or is he just a lone voice in the wilderness? Here's an article by Israel National News, dated November 25, saying, the Begin Sadat Center, a respected think tank, concluded that the Arab Spring is not going to result in democracy, despite original hopes in the West, and may make things even worse for Israel. Now, is this assessment correct, or is that, again, an exaggeration? I'd like to read to you from an article by Ynet News, dated November 25, which I thought was very illuminating. Now, I dare to say that the left liberal media in our country and in other Western nations probably did not report this at all, or if they did, in a very small footnote. But listen carefully what's being said here. A Muslim Brotherhood rally in Cairo's most prominent mosque on Friday turned into an anti-Israel protest, with attendants vowing to one day kill all the Jews. Speakers at the event delivered impassioned, hateful speeches against Israel, slamming the Zionist occupiers and the treacherous Jews. Muslim Brotherhood spokesmen, as well as Palestinian guest speakers, made explicit calls for jihad and for liberating the whole of Palestine. Time and again, a Quran quote, vowing that, quote, one day we shall kill all the Jews, close quote, was uttered at the site. Throughout the event, Muslim Brotherhood activists chanted, Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv, Judgment Day has come. Now, we've heard a lot about the revolution in Egypt. We hear about the voting which is going on right now. And the West still thinks that this is going to be good news for Israel, that it's going to be good news for Western relationships. This is not what the news show us. Israel National News wrote today, on December 2, judges overseeing the vote count in Egypt's parliamentary elections say Islamist parties have won a majority of the contested seats in the first round. The judges say that the Muslim Brotherhood, if you just heard about the Muslim Brotherhood and what their goals are, they could take 45% of the seats up for grabs. Together, Islamist parties are expected to control a majority of parliamentary seats by March. And notice now this frightening scenario, as the article goes on to say, analysts say Islamists may also seek to annul the 1979 Egypt-Israel peace treaty, which could prompt Israel to seize the Sinai Peninsula for the fourth time in its history to create a strategic buffer zone. The Muslim Brotherhood, which gave birth to the anti-Israel Hamas terror militia. Doesn't seem to be that peaceful, right? It might also seek to effectively annex Gaza. Should Hamas be triumphant in future PA elections, they would also gain a foothold in Judea and Samaria. Let's turn now a little bit to Iran. What is going on there? Now, we have warned for more than 3 years that there is a possibility of a war between Israel and Iran, a possibility that Israel might attack Iran before Iran has a nuclear weapon. Today, the Berliner Zeitung, a German paper over there in Germany, wrote the following. There is still no threat of a war with Iran, though the world has never before been so close to one. Negotiations with Iran over its nuclear program are now likely over. Until now, it has been enough to apply pressure on Iran. Now, more efforts have to be taken to keep Israel from firing the first shot. Who do you think are they talking about creating more effort? Well, of course, they're talking about the European nations, realizing that America is not going to do it. But Israel might very well strike. Now, I'm not saying they will, but they might. And here is what Ynet News reported on November 27. Iranian defense minister said Israel would be attacked with 150,000 missiles if it launches any military action against the Islamic Republic. It goes on to say that he stated, Israel has to be punished for what it has done to the Muslims in Palestine and Lebanon. But Israel might already have started attacking. Clandestinely, perhaps, not that obviously, but nevertheless, notice what this article in A7 News wrote on November 30. The explosion earlier this week that Iran said was at a uranium enrichment site actually damaged a nuclear plant and was far from accidental, the London Times reported on Wednesday. The newspaper quoted Israeli intelligence officials as saying that satellite photos revealed extensive damage from the explosion near Tehran. And then the article goes on to say, 2 weeks ago, an explosion at a military base that killed a top general and 16 others also resulted in extensive damage. The Washington-based Institute for Science and International Security told the New York Times, it was pretty amazing to see the entire facility was destroyed. There was only a few buildings left standing. The explosion occurred during work that was supposed to be a, quote, major milestone in the development of new missiles. One of the casualties was the founder of Iran's missile program, and the explosion appeared to take place at a missile base. So again, putting this news together, it looks like the volatile situation over there involving Iran, involving Israel, will get more and more volatile. Now, we've all heard about these demonstrations by quote-unquote students against the British embassy over there in Iran. But let me read to you what Haaretz had to say on December 1. The storming of the British embassy in Tehran earlier this week was not an improvised student protest, but an attack planned and supervised by Iranian authorities. The attack was planned by Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. And they go on to say proof of his involvement and also of the military, apparently, was in the media coverage. Photographs of the attack show troops taking part. In addition, two official state television channels, directly controlled by Khamenei, managed to broadcast the attack live. No official news channels are permitted to broadcast live without Khamenei's permission. And as a consequence, many European countries withdrew their ambassadors and other consulate personnel from Iran. And we are saying now in the news that this relationship between Iran and Europe also has never been worse, but it's going to get much worse. Interestingly enough, the culprit in the mindset of the Iranian people here is actually Great Britain. Notice what the New York Times wrote on November 30. The United States may be the great Satan to Iran's theocratic rulers, but it is Britain, the crafty old colonial power whose designs in Iran go back two centuries, that is still widely blamed for almost every upheaval in the country. It is very interesting that anti-British feelings are being spread throughout the world. I recently reported about a situation involving Germany and Britain, and Europe and Britain. But now we are seeing also developments pertaining to Africa. Notice this article by CNN from November 30. The Nigerian Senate has passed a bill banning same-sex marriages, defying a threat from Britain to withhold aid from nations violating gay rights. The bill passed Tuesday. It comes nearly a month after British Prime Minister David Cameron threatened to withhold aid from nations violating gay rights, sparking outrage in Africa, where leaders interpreted it as, quote, colonial display of power. Last week, Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, known for his anti-gay rhetoric, called the Prime Minister satanic for demanding gay rights. Ugandan government spokesman Fred Opolet described Cameron's remarks as patronizing colonial rhetoric. Ghanaian President John Atta Mills, a major Western ally, applauded the benefits of foreign aid, of course he would, but said the nation will not accept money that will undermine its interests. I will never initiate or support any attempt to legalize homosexuality in Ghana, he told journalists this month. Tanzanian officials decried the remarks of Cameron, saying they, quote, can lead to broken relations between the two nations. Putting the news together, my friend, we see several developments. We see, concentrating on the Middle East, how the Arab Spring will lead to more and more antagonistic relationships toward Israel. We also see that Britain is becoming more and more unpopular in the world. We also find that the Arab nations are looking more and more towards Europe, not the United States of America and not Britain. I'm talking about continental Europe, to help. And the Europeans seem to be more and more willing to do so. Now again, let me tell you that the Bible is explaining very clearly that a confederacy will be formed between certain Arab nations and Europe under German leadership against Israel's interests. We read that Israel will receive a blow, a military defeat in a war to come. It will go to Germany in particular asking for help, and it says that Germany is not going to help them. We also find that ultimately, according to the Bible, Europe will intervene militarily in the Middle East in an attempt to create peace, but it will subdue many countries and it will conquer Jerusalem. Now, my friends, when I say those things, people write me and say, oh, you are anti-America, you are anti-Europe, you are pro-Israel, you are anti-Arabic nations. I am not anti or pro anything. I am telling you what the Bible has to say. I am giving you the facts based on the news that is happening, and I am showing you in the light of biblical prophecy what it all means. I am not involved in any political agenda, nor do I want to be. Some accuse that I am anti-Europe and pro-America. I mean, however you want to slice it, it is nonsense. My friends, I am telling you what's happening, and I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has warned all of us. The time will come, which is going to be such a great tumultuous tribulation for the entire world, that if those days wouldn't be shortened, no human being would survive. But Christ says, I will come to shorten those days for the elect's sake. When we are telling you these things, my friends, it is to wake some of you up, to really show you what the Bible says and what the news today are delivering to us. At the same time, those of you who are awake, I want you to stay awake and to keep watching. Christ said, watch and pray always that you may be worthy to escape all these things which are going to come to pass and to stand in front of the Son of Man. I hope I have helped you today a little bit to show you what is happening and what will happen and how volatile this powder keg in the Middle East is, and it's going to explode. The Bible tells us this very clearly. We may not know all the details yet, but we should watch to see how it is going to develop. And so I pray that your eyes will stay open. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.